last month, you told me that about your Filipino doctors.
Yeah.
You said that you stood up to one of them. I think it's the fellow who wanted the 90-second call every morning. Do I have those two events right?
I'm not sure that you do. No.
Tell me. Here, what the conversation where you stood up to them. Just briefly, what were you standing up to, and what did you say?
There've been two conversations, and one was over a year ago, where you know they wanted me to lower the fees, and you helped me, and so I went in and I met with them face to face, and I just said, you know, 50 basis points is as low as I'm going to go, and I enjoy working with you, but if our relationship is dependent upon that. Then that's as low as I'm going to go. And they just kind of brushed it off, and they're like, oh, no, we're fine, we're good. I mean, it was kind of interesting. It was kind of, but they just kind of blew it off. And so then the second time, she called me, I got a phone call from her. They're both physicians, by the way.
Right.
And so I got a call from her, and she said, what are you charging us? And I said, well, I said, we've had this conversation many. I get defensive, and I shouldn't, Rob. And I said we've had this conversation before, and I said, and it's 50 basis points, and she said something like, well, can we go lower or something? And I said, nope. No, we can't. We've already had that conversation. And I didn't like the way I handled it because I was defensive in my voice and my body language. And so I called her back and I said, Ophelia, I said, is everything okay? I said, maybe I didn't handle that call the right way. And she's like, no, I've got a small account with a guy, and I was thinking of moving it over. And he said he could do it for 50 basis points. So I'm just going to leave it over. She said it was no big deal. She says, I'm sorry I even called you on it. She said it wasn't really anything to even be worried about. So I just kind of overreacted. So that's that part of it to answer your question. And then you said something about a 90-second call. I decided on my own that I would call him every day. And we spend about maybe 30 to 90 seconds on the phone. It's a pretty quick call. Here's where the market is today. You know, I might give him one little tidbit, and he's just about every second or third day, he'll say to me, Kent, I so much enjoy our morning calls. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, I want to come back to that point. Is that recognition? Okay. Was that a recognition of value?
Absolutely, sir.
You know where I'm going, right? So I'm not going to go there.
you can go there. I'm okay.
We might revisit, but I don't want to take the time right now because you know I'm going to go into the VIPSA conversation.
Right.
This couple has referred you to other Filipino doctors. Am I right?
You are correct, sir.
Okay. Now here's, and you told me they're performance hogs.
They're every correct. Every one of them has been a disaster. They're performance hogs. They're with me for less than a year, and quite frankly, I don't want any more of them.
Okay. Well, let me walk through a thought process with you. You'll be able to use it in other places. Here's my thought about performance hogs. My experience is it's really hard to beat the averages. It's just hard. What you really get paid for is having people in the right asset allocation so they'll stay in during the bad times. there's a friend of ours who whose husband died, and he had $1.5 million of dollars of life insurance, and I referred her to someone I knew at the Morgan Stanley near her house, and we made that volatility when we went through at Christmas around not this year but the year before. It's like
yeah, December 2018. Yeah, we were down nearly 15%.
Yeah, and she called me and said she can't stand it anymore. And I said, well, talk to your advisor. And he had done a really good job with a financial plan. I went with her to the presentation. It was just a masterful job. Brought her in, put it all up on the big board, did scenarios of, you know, what if you do this, then that. What do you want to accomplish? So, and he talked to her monthly. So when she went to talk with him, and she asked me to go also. She wanted to get out. She said, I can't stand it anymore. His first name's Stuart. He listened, and then he went through the financial plan, walked her through that she was still on track for her goals, and said, you get to make the final decision. If it were me, I like where we are. We're where we need to be as far as riding out the market. And because of the plan, because of when she went in to see him, it was all he listened, and it was all about the plan. If he hadn't had a plan in place, I'm not sure that she could have stayed. Well, you know the benefits she's gotten for staying and not selling during all that downdraft. All that to say, what you really get paid for is to have people in the right asset allocation. That's when you really get paid, is when you get people to stay when every nerve in their body is telling them to run. So here's the question, and we've talked about this question before. It's been a while. If I could, I'm just picturing it with these when you get into these things with around how much you're getting paid, and they want to chase yield or chase return. Here's the question: if I could guarantee a 10% annual return, and the last 25 years the compounded rate of return has been 9.85, if I could only guarantee you a 10% return, or guarantee you that you would hit your goals, which one would you pick? It's a very powerful question.
Yeah, that is. I like that.
If I could guarantee you either a 10% return, and Doc, the return for the last 25 years has been 9.85, just so you know. If I could only guarantee a 10% return, or guarantee that you would hit your goals, and I can't guarantee that, but if I could, which of those would you choose? Well, I have never had any FA who I've taught this question to think they would have a client who would say, I want the 10% return, because some years 10% would be outstanding.
Right.
Sometimes 10% would not be outstanding. But when you think the market has, it just takes the focus off of what they're getting, chasing the performance, and on hitting their goals. You know what happens. I mean, again, I think back of the, were you in the business in 87?
Yes, sir.
Well, you remember what that was like. I mean, the market went down, the Dow went down, I think it's 23% in a couple of trading days. People panicked. I know they panicked because the market can't go down that much unless there's a lot of panic. And, you know, the market, if you ever go, it's kind of fun to look at where the Dow was in those days. It was like 2000. maybe it was 1,700, but it was an unbelievably low number. My point being, for the advice, and I know this because at that time, my mother was who had 40% equities, 50% bonds, and 10% cash. She was down 7% because cash went up. You remember how high yields were back then on money funds? That bonds went up 4% on an absolute basis, not annualized, and equities were down 23%. So she was down 7%. Now, she didn't like being down 7%. It cost her $70,000. But if she'd have been down, she'd have lost $230,000, Ken. She couldn't have stayed. She could not have stayed. So
right.
what you get paid for, I mean, other things, but it you get paid for making sure that people are in the right asset allocation. And when you go through your monthly calls, that's one of the things that you ought to be looking at on a regular basis is making sure that people are in the right asset allocation. You know, clients tend to think in terms of all or none. I got to get out of the market. No, if you're really uncomfortable, why don't we take 10% out of equities and put that into a money market fund or bonds or whatever? So I've taken a little longer than I wanted to make a point. When this all came up last night when I was reading our notes, I asked you what went well last year, and you said consistently making calls and I'm being proactive. That's huge. I asked you as well what didn't go well, and one of your answers was not deepening some relationships as well as you could. So as you think about it, I'll just condense what I said. You are, if you get somebody who's a, when somebody gives you an objection, what do you always have to do? You have to confirm it. You know, I really think I should get a bigger return. I know what you're saying. Let me walk you through the thought process, and you know what you get paid for. You don't get paid for chasing yield. Nobody does it. Nobody I know has ever done it consistently well. The people who've made the money are the people who stay over the long term. I mean, any chart you'd pull out. So just a thought, you're doing a good job. And I've said this to you before, Kim, you run a really good practice. If I had a friend in Las Vegas, I would have absolutely no trouble figuring out who I would refer him to. It would be you. You know, there aren't many things you can control in this business. You control your attitude, your ethics, and your effort, and your service. You run that kind of practice. So with these relationships you have with people, and I know this is going to, you're going to say, Rob, how many times are you going to say this? But I go back to a friend of mine who said, I worked for once. He said, you can never say the right thing too many times. Is when you're getting the value added conversation, like you just shared with me a minute ago, it is, you've earned the right to say, thank you for saying that. I worked really hard to deliver whatever they say. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same level of service? I know it's in short supply in this business. So you've earned the right, Kent. You're not imposing on people. I've never had an advisor say to me, I went through the BIPSA conversation and I got an ACATS out the next day. Maybe it's happened, but nobody has ever said it doesn't work. Some guy down in Florida, and we went through the BIPSA conversation, and then our next meeting, obviously, I followed up. He said, this stuff really works. Well, yeah. Yeah, I know that. And then we had a good laugh about it. But this works. You earn the right to begin referral conversations. Make sense?
It does. And you said something I don't think – I mean, I've heard you say this more than one time. But you said something like my type of service or something in this business is in short supply, and I really like that. I don't think I've heard that before.
Well, I don't think I've said it before. So it is. And I shared this with you. I've got a friend in Nashville who had a relationship, long-term relationship with an advisor, and it's a relationship you would have taken. Nice guy, pretty good amount of money. He moved because he had not had a meaningful conversation with his advisor for 9 months.
Wow.
When you offer service, you separate yourself from a lot of people. All right, now, last month when you told me when I asked you what had gone well in 2019, you said not deepening some relationships, weren't using VIPSA, weren't reaching out to your clients' CPAs. Of those three things, deepening relationships, using VIPSA, reaching out to CPAs, which would be the easiest for you to tackle?
VIPSA.
Okay. The homework last time was to get out of your comfort zone at least five times to start a referral conversation. Did you track that?
Yeah, it's easy to track when it's zero.
Okay, I'm going to ask you. One of the hardest questions in the world. And my dad used to, when I do something stupid, he'd have a very simple question: why? Why? You know, I guess it's dumb. I don't know, but that's the question: why? There are FAs that they had your size practice, and they had the relationships you have with people, and your people skills. If they had that, they'd be very comfortable starting referral conversations. So when you couple that with the fact that I've never had an advisor tell me that somebody had a wildly negative or even a mildly negative reaction to VIPSA, it's like you've got the key to the door and you're not using it. Why?
I wish I had a better answer, Rob, because I the last time we talked, I was more energetic about it, and I did have two occasions, and I wasn't as focused on it as I should have been, but I did have two occasions where they complimented me. I mean, it was the perfect setup for the VIPSA, and I've got it. I typed it up. It's easy to read. I've got it in a plastic container. I'm holding it in my hand. It sits on my desk. And she just teed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
And then the doubts came running in, because it's not always the right time to have a VIPSA conversation. But this lady who complimented me, she has referred three of her four sisters to me.
Yeah.
And so she's already referred. And so I backed off. I thought, well, if I ask her for a referral, she's going to be like, you're kind of ungrateful, bro. I've already given you three. How many do you want? So I talked myself out of it.
Yeah, you did. You started listening to yourself.
I did. That's exactly what I did.
Or you could have said, Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. You've been so kind to refer your sisters to me. Is there anyone else you think could benefit from what she just complimented you on?
I like that, because I'm acknowledging you've given me your sisters, but is there anyone else? I love that.
When somebody gives you a compliment, whether it's in this business or in life, You've got to confirm. It's called validation. You've got to validate that you heard them. If you do nothing else, when somebody gives you a compliment, it's thank you for saying that. I it's really important to me to hear something that nice.
I blew that on this call this morning because you told me, you said, if I knew someone in Las Vegas, I know who I would refer to. And I didn't even validate that. So thank you very much. It meant a lot to me. I just didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Ken, I don't know what to, it's like you're in a burning building. Not that I'm just using it as an example. You got the key to the door to get out, and you don't use it. And I can't figure out why. So it's something that is so simple. So what you start thinking about when you're talking to this lady who teed it up so well, you were thinking she might think you were ungrateful.
Exactly. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said, and I don't. I hear what you're telling me. What I'm telling you is, I don't think I could have come up with that. I mean, it all gets around fear. There's some
Agreed.
Fear. Okay. So that fear sometimes is fear of. You know, you start FAs make up the darndest things. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I've been with Merrill for 36 years and now, you know, with NAP since 2011. And it's just amazing what people make up. You made that up. You made that up. That lady, if they didn't like you, she'd leave. So VIPSA. The more you use it, I don't know how many times I've gone through the VIPSA conversation, Kent. It's got to be 1,000. It's just there. I know when to use it. So I don't. If you knew, and I've done this with you before. If you knew if you had 5 VIPSA conversations. Before the end of the week, and 4 of them gave you referrals, would you make those calls?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's fear of rejection. It's a fear of what people think of you. I mean,
I think.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's 2 things. I think it is fear of rejection, which I know we've talked about, but I also. I do. I make stuff up in my mind because I think about this at night. I think, man, here's another day I went and I didn't do the VIPSA. And then I lay in bed and I think, will it really work? I mean, how long is it going to take? I mean, I do. I start making this up. I don't yet fully believe it. I mean, I do, but my actions are telling me that I don't yet fully believe it. And I want to believe it because my wife is all the time, she's like, Kent, what? Now, you know, what's your plan? How many new assets are you going to bring in this year? Have you written down a goal? And what actions are you taking? What are you talking to your coach about? I mean, so I just kind of walk out of the room when she starts talking like that. So
when she asks you that question, what do you feel?
Embarrassed and I don't feel good about myself. I feel like I'm letting her down, and I'm like you. I feel like I've got the keys to a Ferrari, and I'm not riding in it.
Well, Kent, you did a million what last year?
One just shy of 1.4. Can we do that? Is that okay to say it that way?
Yeah. What's your W-2 say?
$580,000.
Now, you're not in downtown, are you?
No.
if you went to the to Walmart's not a good example. If you went to the ritziest store in town and sat there, how many of those people do you think are making that kind of money?
I used to think differently, but I now realize it's not that many people.
Not that many people.
There's some doctors that don't make what I make.
That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And that, you know, after they pay their liability insurance, they make you. So here's the reason I ask the question is you are successful by any. I was talking to a guy the other day at Morgan Stanley. I'm office manager, and I said, what's it take to get into the, you know, right in the middle of the pack, the middle of the third quintile? And he said, I'm not sure, but he said, I think it's around $600,000. So my point is that you are successful. You've grown your business. I think the first time we talked, you were in the mid-sevens. I can go back and look that up, but I don't have it with me. So, Kit, you are successful already. You ever play any sports?
Oh, Rob, I grew up in North Carolina. All I ever wanted in life was to play basketball, and every chance I got, I played basketball.
Yeah. Well, I did too. I played in high school. I played baseball and I played basketball. Not a big feat because I went to a really small high school. But there were days playing baseball that the ball up a plate, the ball looked like it was a beach ball coming in there. I knew I was going to hit it. And then there were other times that I just felt I wouldn't. I couldn't. I was never as good as it felt when that ball, when the baseball, when I knew I was going to get a hit, I was never that good. I was never as bad as I thought I was when I went 2 for 35 once. So, not that I remember, I hit ninth. The guy in front of me was 3 for 35. My point is it's a lot about confidence. There are times when you shot a basketball when you were younger and you knew it was going to go in, and then there are other times that you got the yips, and you knew it wasn't going to go in. So it's a matter of confidence. You are successful. You're not a 250 hitter. You're a cleanup hitter. You are successful. There are people out there who need your help. That lady I told you about, whose husband died, and she had the $1.5 million. The guy who sold her husband the insurance lived in the neighborhood, and he wanted to. He thought he had earned the because he'd sold the insurance, he earned the right to invest her money, you know, the proceeds. I went with her to the appointment. It was one of the most awful appointment presentations I have ever seen. He wanted to put her in all annuities, and it would have been about a $19,000 payday for him.
Wow.
And I tell you, because there are people out there who need your help.
Yeah.
And Ken, I've said this to you a long time. Thank goodness I've got some experience in the market because I fought it off. I lost my train of thought. There are people out there who need what you do. If they knew what you do. So you're good at it. To ask people if they know anybody who needs what they have just complimented you on isn't a big jump. I mean, I don't know how to say it other than you've earned the right to ask. So I look at our homework for last time, and we've got you signed up for 6 meetings. This is number 5.
Right.
I don't want these 6 weeks to end, and you're not on the BPSA train.
Agreed.
So, you know, just get a compliment, confirm it. Thank you for saying that. I work really hard to provide that type of guidance, provide that type of service, whatever. I know what I was getting to say. This market, some of these days, this market's going to correct. This is crazy the way it's going. There are people out there who are going to be chasing returns, and they're going to get smacked because they're in the wrong asset allocation. There are people out there who need to talk to you. So what I would ask you is that, you know, the homework this time was to set up a game board, measure something on your game board. I would put on there, to be on your game board, it has to be quantifiable and it has to be doable. You know, you can only put one or two things there. You know, one of the things I would have there is have five BPSA conversations a week. You only do it when it's appropriate, and you do it when people recognize your value. Also, I sent you something last night. A couple of documents. Did you see those?
I have not pulled. I saw the email come through, but I haven't pulled it up yet.
Here's something else. When I asked you before today, we talked earlier today about. I'm going to go a different direction. One of the things I sent you was a form that says referral discussions. I've asked you before to put those in every folder.
Yes, I've got those out. They're not there yet, but they're going to be.
Well, every time you talk to somebody, just slip one of those in the folder. The other thing is when you said the things that you weren't doing didn't go as well, one of the things you said was not deepening some relationships. How are you doing with your planning? I mean, you remember one of the things I sent you was something called a supernova planning matrix.
Right.
Where it asks you, and we've done this before, but you divide your people in four categories. Category one are people with an up-to-date plan. Category two, people with a plan that hasn't been revisited. Category three, clients who've declined to engage in the planning process. And category four, people who you haven't talked with about it. And then on that list are action steps and possible conversations. If you could get into BPSA, just using it when it's appropriate, and start working your way through your planning. I can't imagine you couldn't get a lot of stuff in the pipeline pretty quickly. What I would ask you to do before now and our next meeting is have at least five BPSA conversations, and that's getting out of your comfort zone, and then take a look at this planning matrix and, you know, people who've you haven't talked with in a while about planning, people who you never talked with. There's even a little script there. Somebody that you, like category three person who has declined in the past. Ms. Jones, we discussed the financial plan in the past. The plan is part of what my clients receive for being part of my practice. I still feel it's important and would like you to reconsider. We have a way of getting the process started with a short questionnaire. They say no. You just put it in your file and talk to them about it and bring it up again in a year. So those two things, Kent, working on that matrix, three things, putting those referral discussion folders or pieces of paper in every folder and getting outside your comfort zone with BPSA, man, that's simple stuff. And as I said, you've earned the right to do it.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. All right. That's it. You got anything else?
Yeah, I sent I know you don't look at it, but I sent you a text message on your cell phone.
Oh, yeah? When did you do that?
If I've got your cell phone right, I've got 615-473-1701.
That's it. When did you send that?
While we were talking.
Let's see. Well, it's not there. The last one I got was from a guy at Morgan Stanley. Let me look here. Well, it's not here. Can I give you, would you send it again? 615-473-1701.
Okay, let me send it again here. All right, 615-473-1701. Okay, I just sent it.
Well.
Oh, it looks like it's going. Let's see. Okay, looks
there.
Like it looks like.
Okay, I got it. What's that? Yep, yep. Danny, what is that? Is that from 87?
That is the newspaper from October 20th, 1987.
Yeah. Well,
that's USA Today.
When
I was at BYU, if I did my studies, I would treat myself and go buy a USA Today and sit there and read the whole thing from cover to cover during my lunch hour. And then when I came to work, I subscribed to USA Today and I have saved that newspaper. It's here in my office. I've saved that all these years.
I remember that. If you look through that, oh, look, incredible 508-point loss puts the Dow at 1,738. And now it's at 30,000. I mean,
now, do you realize that it was a little over a week ago that the Dow was down 600 points?
Yeah.
We were down 600 points in one day.
Yeah.
Versus back then, the market being down 508. Now, I don't know if you can expand that and read it, but if you look to the left under money line, it says what the T-bill yields were. Can you read that?
I can't, but my guess is they were like in the eights.
7.34%.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good guess for an old guy.
That's a really good guess for an old guy.
Yeah, well, there are people who got killed that day and never got, they didn't, took them a couple years to get back in, and then a lot of people forgotten. If you go to October of 89, we had the same thing happen again, but not as extreme. So they panic out, they get back in after 2 years, just in time to step in front of the next bus, and. It's just you can't outguess it. You got to be invested. And you got to be invested correctly. I got to go. I got to
go.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob. All right.
Hey, these are easy things to do, Kent.
I'm gonna do them.
You're gonna do them.
I'm gonna do them.
When you do it, you're gonna feel better. You know what that's gonna have you do? Do it more often. Success breeds. All right. Good to talk.
Thanks,
to you.
Rob.
Thank you.
You too. We'll
Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Anna? Boy, God fights some women.